Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Praise God. Thank you, guys. Thank the worship team. Man, let's give them a hand clap. Man, they're awesome. Real quick, guys, some of you guys have walked in. We have our little coffee shop back there. The youth. You can send a youth to camp by buying one of these shirts. Faith moves mountains. Isn't that a true statement? Please go out there, get your shirt. Who's ready to hear God? Oh, amen. Let's just pray. Father God, I pray. God, first I thank you for the worship team and everybody on this facility, Lord, that is doing something for you, God. There might be somebody in here today that don't know you, God. I pray they leave here knowing you, God. And us that do know you, God, let us leave here having more hope and faith in you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're still in 1 John. Here it is. I love 1 John because we're about to be out of 1 John into 2 John. And if you guys been coming faithfully on Wednesdays or watching online or just maybe went back and checked out some of the messages of 1 John, you see, there's a lot of the same subject, but in different ways, what the book of John is trying to tell us. And I believe it's John's favorite subject is love. I was joking around with one of my guys. I go, man, I've been preaching on sin these past two times I've been in John. Let me get to something that can bring hope. But it's the puzzle is almost complete in 1 John. And those that follow Christ and that walk with Jesus. We're going to look at that. And it's going to be about love. But I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm not going to speak long. I'm not going to do a long study because I'm going to have the worship team come back out here and we're going to close. What not the first? It's still January. It's still new to us. Some of us have probably already missed the mark in some of our goals and we're probably like, man, we're just starting wrong. But you know what? I pray in Jesus' name when you leave here, you restart and you get back focused on whatever God has put into your heart, if it's a goal or a dream or just getting closer to God. Or maybe I'm speaking to somebody here on the mountaintop, but you know what? This message might prepare you for the valley because it happens. Welcome to life, right? And so I just pray that God will do something great in your life. Before I even get to this message, a lot of you sports watchers, ESPN watchers, you guys are familiar with the name Stephen Smith. He's like a speaker on ESPN. He said something that spoke to me. He wrote a book. In the book, he talked about when he first got fired from ESPN. He works for ESPN, and now he's one of the biggest voices for ESPN. And he was pouting about it, and he knew, let me just go see my mom. She'll give me hope, right? And he said he got to his mom's. He must have called her and said, Mom, I got fired because he said she prepared his favorite bagels with butter. And she made his scrambled eggs. And look what she did. I love what she did. That's a good mama. She put a mirror right next to his breakfast. So he's eating his breakfast and he goes, Mom, what's the mirror for? She goes, I want you to look at it. I want you to look at yourself. It was because of you what happened. It was because of nobody else. And sometimes we wake up every morning, we look in the mirror, and we're getting ready, we're fixing our hair, brushing our teeth. But sometimes, I'm telling you, you want to get to a place with God you never got before, you got to do this. Come on. And you got to say to yourself, I got to quit blaming everybody. I got to quit blaming the church. I got to quit blaming my past circumstances. Because if I'm born again, then I have Jesus that lives inside of me. I have a Savior that has set me free. I have addictions that's been falling off of me. But Al, you're a man of God, and you're created for greatness. Sometimes you just got to look at that mirror sometimes. You got to remind yourself when you're brushing your teeth that, you know what? I serve a God that can heal me. I serve a God that saved me. I serve a God that can set my kids free. I serve a God that can heal my marriage. I serve a God that can heal my finances. But you got to serve God. So tomorrow morning or tonight, when you go, you look in that mirror and remind yourself who you are in Jesus. Remind yourself who Jesus is in you. And I promise you, I don't care if you're on top of the mountain or you in that valley, you'll still be serving God. Give him some praise in this place today. Amen. That's the God you serve. Let's get to the point now. There's a book that I've been reading called Misfits, Arthur Matthew Barnett. You'll hear me mention that name a lot. I've been reading his book, that's why. He shares a story about him going out to Adopt the Block ministry. We do it here, Tony up there, and many of you that are a part of that, you go out. Our goal with Adopt the Block was to go out to the communities, not burn the bridge before we build the bridge. So we go out there just to serve people, kind of like serving in September. What can we do to serve you? And if there's an opening, man, we're going to just tell them about Jesus. But the main focus is just showing somebody the love of God. Listen to this story. One day, this is Matthew Barnett. On our Adopt the Block weekly visitation, I knocked on a door. During a regular rounds of service, an elderly Filipino gentleman greeted me kindly and told me to come in. You could tell this man didn't have a lot of people coming over to see him. I told him we were just coming by to check on him to make sure he was fine. If he needed anything, he could just track us down and we were going to be ready to serve him. He said, I know a way you can help me. I thought for sure. We could paint your apartment. We can help you in any way. He goes, no. Would you mind doing a Bible study with me on the love of God? I almost laughed at the request because I didn't expect it. For 10 weeks, I read this old Filipino war veteran the Bible and talked to him about the love of God. Then on the last week, I told him, your homework is to go out and help someone else. The next week, I knocked on the door and answered. He put his finger up over his mouth, signaling me to be quiet. I asked, what's wrong? He said, I saw this family that was homeless walking down the street. He was whispering, even quieter. I remember you talking about the love of God and about how I need to help someone else. The man told me, Pastor, please be quiet because they are staying with me and I don't think they're legal citizens. Matthew Barnett kind of laughed and felt like saying, don't worry, this is Los Angeles. You're probably going to be okay. I know, I thought that was funny too. The elderly gentleman acted on the Bible study. He actually, listen to this, took in this family that just came across the border and gave them a place to stay. The man shocked me by responding so drastically to my challenge on helping someone else. I'm used to the church where sometimes the things I say can go in one ear and out the other. This man was doing something about what he learned. Listen to this. The man who had just come to America. So this is a family that just came across the border, was so moved by the experience that he went over to the corner of the room, put his hands on his face, and in Spanish, I've only been in America for a few hours, and the man gave me a place to stay. The church gave me clothes and blessed my family. Wow, what a country. Is everyone like this over here? Uh-oh. He says, I didn't want to burst his bubble. Oh, yeah. I said, well, thinking, let the reality hit him later. That's reality. Did you see the moral of that true story? All that man wanted to know is about the love of God. That's it. And as we've been going through this study in John, he's been preparing all of us that's been faithful to come or listen to the message or that's been following 1 John to prepare us for our homework. See, that's what Matthew Barnett said. He said it's homework time. It's movement time. We've talked about love many times on this pulpit. We talked about our carnal love. It's, we can love somebody to death one day and we don't even like them the next. Right? I love you from a distance. We've talked about that many times. Our fleshly love is not patient. Our fleshly love is not kind. It's arrogant. It's rude. It's boastful. It's selfish. It's the opposite of everything God teaches in this Bible. Everything. So it's homework time. You know why it's homework time? Because there's hurting people. There's hopeless people, broken people, empty people, people that need to be saved and born again, people that need to be set free, and you have the answer. It's homework time, amen? So listen to this. We're going to get right into 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to this. Do any of you recall in the first couple chapters how he talked to the men and women of God? He would call them little children, didn't he? you see that things are changing a little bit. You know what's happening? He sees a change in their walk. He sees something different. They're just not showing up to church, going home, showing up, going home, expected. I was talking to a friend earlier in the day, and she said, just coming to church on Wednesday and Sunday, I mean, this is like breathing, serving God. Just like you're sitting there breathing in your heart, that you serve God like that. It's a daily routine. It's a daily life. It just don't come to Bible study and expect the God just to move through you. You got to be connected, even abided in him. And listen to this. So he opens up dear friends now. He's calling us friends now, guys. Remember when we were little children, probably about a couple months ago? So John is expecting growth. That's why John went back to a subject that he's talked about over and over and over, because he knew if we can get a hold of God's love, the people that God surrounds us, the platform that God places us in, people will be born again. People will be saved. And he goes on to say this, listen to this. Dear friends, let us, what? Love one another. I'm gonna stop right there. Why? There's always a why. Here's our why. In John 13, 34 and 35, listen to this. John 13, 34 and 35. John 13, I wrote this one down. Listen to this. I'm giving you a new commandment. Right here. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Next verse, please. By this, all people will know. Listen to this. Here's why. Here's our why. There's a why in this. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Let's stay right there, Sandy, real quick. There's our why. If you want to know a why, we can end this study right now, call the worship team up. That's our why. There's a why. That people will know that you are my disciples. When we're loving people like God loved us, I'm telling you right now, people will know. They will know that there's something different about you. They will know that there's just something. How does that person have so much patience? How does that person have so much love in there? How do they care so much? It's pretty simple. We walk with Jesus. Yes, we missed the mark, but let me tell you right now, if we keep abiding and serving God and wanting to grow in Jesus, if we get a hold of this, man, we'll bring revival to this city in no time. So he goes on to say, by this, all people will know that you are, all people, everybody, will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's it. If we have love for one another. I'm going on to read, finish off this verse. Listen to this. He goes on to say, dear friends, let us love one another, for God, listen to this, for love comes from God. In 1 John chapter 7, please. For love comes from God. You want to know right now, you know, you can tell if you're born again. You know how you know? Because the love will come from God in your life. You will know that you are born again when love, you know that God has touched you in a way. That's when you know you're born again, because he goes on to say this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. The love that I'm talking about, the love that this Bible is talking about, it comes from God. And listen to this. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. I want you to look, keep that word, because we're going to run into that word of good word again, that knows God. You know what it means by you know God? You've had an experience with God. You've seen God take you to places that you know 100% that only God can do that. That's what he means right there. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So we know where the love comes from. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Next verse, please. Next verse. Whoever, listen, makes it clear. Whoever does not love does not, I'm going to stop right there, does not know God. He's not saying that you don't believe in God. He's not saying that you don't even love God. He's saying you don't know God. You ever hung out with somebody and then finally you're like, man, I thought I knew that person, right? Or you start hearing a few things about that person and you're just like, man, I swear I've been hanging out with them for years and I thought I knew them. I didn't even know them. You know, you can come here every Wednesday every Sunday, every Wednesday, and not even know God? Not even know when that worship team was up here? They weren't up here to entertain us. They were up here to help you to get a hold of God. You know what this means? I know, man, we're bad, man. I know sometimes we don't like raising our hands. I guarantee you if you're getting arrested, the cop's going to tell you to surrender, ain't he? You know what God's telling you to do when we do? We're not just doing it to do it. It's a part of surrendering to God. It's a part of getting to know God. That's all it is. It's a part of saying, you know what, God, I'm a manly man, and I know everybody's looking at me, but I surrender, God. Because I want to know you. I don't want to walk out of these doors. I don't want to walk out of this hospital, God, that you made for me still broken. I don't want to walk out of this hospital, Lord, with these addictions and these chains, God. I want to know you, God. And when you get to know God, you get to know the love of God. You get to know the heart of God. You get to understand why some of us need to go like this and say, God, I need to get to know you. Because ain't nobody want to be around me, and I'm blaming it on everybody else. God, I need to get to know you, God. I'm on my 10th marriage, Lord, and I'm blaming it on all those people. God, I need to get to know you, God, because I want to experience your love. When you get to know God, I heard this. I heard somebody say this, and I told J2 about this. This spoke to me so much. There was a preacher named Jim Baker, a lot of you, and it was an open story. It was online. That fell away from God. Big time preacher, Bob Bell, you know who died, a big time preacher at the time. Fell into adultery, into some fraud, and this other pastor wrote this book, and I guess Jim Baker was in prison reading that book. And got a hold of some of his staff members and said, can you get that guy in here? I want to talk to him about writing this book, spoke to me. So that guy went to prison to visit Jim Baker, this preacher at one time that was one of the biggest preachers at that moment. He went in, he said, you wrote that book? He goes, yeah, I wrote that book. I said, man, that really spoke to me. And he went on to ask him, he goes, the other pastor goes, Jim, let me ask you a question. When did you fall out of love with Jesus? He goes, I ain't never fell out of love with Jesus. He said, hold up now, you got me confused. For 7 years, you were in adultery and you were frauding. He goes, no, I never fell in love with Jesus. I stopped fearing God. I hope that speaks to somebody. We don't want you to leave here scared of God. We want you to leave here with respect to God, to reverence to God. Oh, that spoke to me. Because I've been in dark places. I never lost the love of Jesus. I just didn't care no more. I'm just being honest. So I hope that speaks to somebody right now in Jesus' name that it speaks to you. And it ain't about just falling out of love with Jesus. It's fearing God, the Father, who's given you life. That everything God does is an excellence. You weren't an accident. You were something that God created for a purpose. You were somebody that God wants to use you. And when we would get a hold of God's love, and we understand, listen to this, whoever does not love does not know God. So I pray in the name of Jesus, this year, you get to know God. That you get to fall not only in love with Jesus, but then you get a reference to our Father in heaven. To say, you know what, God, it's time to stop playing games. There's people around me going into eternity not with you, Lord. Give me that heart and that desire and that passion for you, God. And we go on to the next verse, please. This is love. Here it is. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Next verse, please. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Next verse. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Stay right there, please. His love stays complete in you. I was talking to my friend J2. You guys know J2. And it was last week. It was this week. I was telling him a little bit about my upbringing. And he goes, I didn't know that about you. Oh, my God. I wonder why you were kind of a mess. He told me that. I'm serious. I'm like, well, see, I told you I was a mess. He didn't even know all about me. You want to get to know about Jesus? Well, I don't like reading, Pastor. You better get an audio book on the Bible. You better come to a Bible study. We better have a goal. Have goals to lose weight, have goals to gain weight, have goals for your finance. You better have a goal to get to know God. You better have a goal to get to know how to love people so people can be born again. Look at this. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians, everybody knows this. If you married, you know this verse. If you got married through the church, you know this. Love is what? Patient. This is that God's love. Love is patient. Love is what? Kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. What is that? It's not prideful. Next verse, please. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no, I love this, it keeps no records of wrong. Ain't that good? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I love this. This is God's love. We know our carnal love. We fail all the time. Some of us don't even like our kids right now. You know what I'm saying? It can happen. But look at what God's love. It never, we got to get this within us. Love never fails, man. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Greater is he that is in you that is in this world. Al, you walk out and you be an example to people. Love never fails. God's love will never fail. Now, we can fail God. Some of us probably failed him on the way here. But he always gives us an out, and that's him. Ain't no 1, 2, 3 strikes here. Love's like a baseball game, 3 strikes here. I remember that old saying. It ain't none of that. Look at that. Ain't no. God's grace is merciful. God wants to save us. He wants to do something great within us. Listen to this. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. Matthew chapter 5, please. Listen to this. I'm going to read this for you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Hold up. It was said that, but listen to Jesus. Go to the next verse, please. But I tell you, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is speaking to all of us that follow him. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Next verse, please. If you love those, listen to this, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's an instruction. When Jesus said earlier, when I read in that verse, I give you a command. You know what command means? It's to issue an order. You know what else it means? It's an order given by one in authority. If you go to the military, you're going to have a commander, right, Dave? You're going to be told what to do. But you chose to go to the military. And so what I'm saying, we chose to give our lives to Jesus. And when we give our lives to Jesus, it has to come to a point in all of our lives that we have some homework. If you're expecting to just wake up in the morning and say, well, Pastor, I was lying to me. I don't feel the love of God. Can you remember the first time you ever came to like serving in September or mobilizing in March or adopt the block and you're new, you don't know nobody, you don't even know what project you're going to and all you're saying, I'm just gonna pray on it. You probably wanna leave, right? And then this is what I love, and I love it because Pastor Ron always gets us leaders together, huh, Mon? He gets us the leaders together and he goes, it's not always about those people. It's about these new people that are about to experience the love of God through them. And what always happens, the first people, I'm like, anybody want to share a testimony? Nobody wants to share. Tony, where's Coca-Cola? Tony yet? He'll share a testimony, right? No one wants to share. Then all of a sudden, that new person, I didn't know I would experience that. I didn't know me being the hands and feet for Jesus that I will experience the love of Jesus. That's how it works. When we go out, don't matter how you feel, if you're born again, you got the edge over many people that's not. You know Jesus. You have a Savior that saved your life. And some of us, we ain't there yet. But I promise you, when you learn to pick up this Bible and you get to know Him, You know God will never leave you or forsake you. You know that Jesus is the Son of God and God sent his Son to die for you. You know that he can heal you. You know that he can set you free. You know that he can financially bless you when you become a blessing. You know you can walk out of here with a hope. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You know you can walk out of here with a joy from God that you've never experienced. You know that you can walk out of here with a peace that surpasses all understanding that you've never experienced. You know that your kids can be saved. You know that your spouse can be saved. You know that your workplace can be saved. That you know. When you get to know the love of God, give God some praise in this place today. Amen, amen. That's the God that wants to know you. That's the God that wants you to serve him. And that's the people that are out there that are lost, waiting for us as believers to go out there and be the hands and feet of Jesus. I wish I had my pencil because I wasn't going to share this, but I've been hearing stuff all week, been speaking to me. This guy had a pencil. And he says when that pencil is sharpened, it works so good. But when it's dull, it's dull. He said if a pencil can just speak and had words, it would talk about its pain of being sharpened. Does that sound like God? But thank God for the eraser. Because when you make mistakes, come on, God can erase those mistakes. Thank God. Everybody say, thank God for the eraser. Thank God for the eraser. Because God can erase those mistakes. But he says the most important thing about that pencil is what's in the inside. What's in the inside of you, what God wants to do? Your heart, your thoughts, your mind, your brokenness, that's what God wants to do. He wants to sharpen you. He wants to mold you. He wants to build you. He wants you to be so molded and bold. When you're around people, they feel the love of God. Give him some praise in this place. That's the God that loves you. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to call the worship team out right now. It's time to worship. I want everybody on their feet. Happy New Year. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Come on, Jesus, he loves you. And he's going to do something great in you. Let me tell you what you're going to do. So I'm talking to some of you men. Y'all know what I'm talking. I just said it earlier. When that police officer says, surrender, I do. When you ever watch that UFC fight and that guy taps out, he's surrendering. We're just going to worship with the Lord. Don't leave here. I'm telling you, don't leave here without Jesus. Don't leave here. You don't have to leave here broken. You can leave here with hope broken. You can leave here still with Jesus. You can leave this place right now, walking out of this place in the state you are, and be an example for someone for Jesus. So right now, it's up to you. I told you what I had to do. I had to go like this. I had to look in my own mirror and say, Al, you know Jesus. Al, you know his love. You know his compassion. You know his healing. You know. So that's what we need to do. We need to say, God, I'm going to open up my heart to you, God, and you do what only you can do. Amen. Give God some praise right now. Prepare your hearts for Jesus. I'll be back out. Let's worship Jesus.
You are, we make miracle work, promise. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are
is. That's the God you serve. Give God some praise. That's the God that's going to set you free. That's the God that's going to heal you. That's the God that's going to bring the prodigals home. One verse I want you to look at, Matthew 11. She's going to put it up here. Listen to this. Come to me, all who are heavy and weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I brought this 5-pound weight out. This ain't a heavy weight. I can do a lot of sets, but let me tell you, if I carry this for about 3 hours, I'll probably be doing this. You know what's weighing some of us down? It's the small burdens. It ain't even the, we just want to give God all the big stuff. It's the small stuff that would destroy your walk with God. He makes it crystal clear today. Come to me. Those, it doesn't matter what burden it is. You should be right now, prayer team, why don't you come on up here right now? You should come up here to this altar and say, you know what, God, I thought this was too small for God. Ain't nothing too small for the God you serve. Ain't no sickness too big or too small for God that you serve. Well, Pastor Al, you don't understand my kids. I understand I have kids too. Jesus can save them. You don't understand. My marriage looks like it's horrible. Give it to God. My finances, I am so broke, I can't pay my bill. Give it to God. I'm not born again and saved. Guess today's your, you came to the best service of the new year because you can be born again today. If you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm not even going to call you out. You come up here. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Give God some praise. Amen. We're going to close right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, no devil in hell will stop one person to walk out these doors if they need prayer. But like I said, it could be on the mountaintop, God. I pray that tomorrow they're the best example for you, God. So I pray in the name that is above every name and the name that every knee is going to bow one day. God, that you heal hearts today. Heal marriages. Heal finances, Lord. Bring people to salvation. We thank you and we give you all the praise and give God all the glory. In Jesus' name, we love you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is